As we've just heard, Slobodan Milosevic may call politicians and diplomats to testify on his behalf. Two Americans whose names have been mentioned in that context are Bill Clinton and former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Richard Holbrooke. For more on that possibility, we turn now to Ruth Wedgwood, who's a professor of international law at Yale and Johns Hopkins Universities, and a former federal prosecutor, too. Professor Wedgwood, can the tribunal in The Hague issue a binding subpoena to, say, Richard Holbrooke, if Milosevic says that man's testimony would support his account?
Well, not to somebody in their official capacity. There actually was an analog case to this several years ago where the prosecutor wanted to get official records from Croatia. And the court held, I think, in a needlessly broad decision that there's no right to issue something called a subpoena. It can issue a binding order, but it can't do it to particular people in their capacities as officers, even if they were eyewitnesses. But I think, for starters, long before you get to the question of whether the court could do it, the court would require a very specific proffer of proof from Milosevic as to what the testimony of Tony Blair or Bill Clinton possibly could do for him, because you can't just do a fishing expedition and roam around the globe looking for people who might once have shook your hand.
Well, U.S. officials did call Milosevic a supporter of the peace process when they met at Dayton and reached an agreement on Bosnia. But beyond being reminded of these embarrassing old testimonials that they made to the man, is there any question of substance, say, to Milosevic's defense that any past American official could actually be asked, do you think?
Well, if I was Richard May, the presiding judge, I would be looking for something quite specific. If it's simply that people in the heated attempt to bring peace to Bosnia sat down with him at the Dayton Air Force Base, that's not exculpatory, particularly for the additional acts he committed in Kosovo thereafter. But I don't think it's really ever going to come to that, because one of the other principles of trial law is that you better be careful who you call. I mean, if you call Richard Holbrooke because you want to offer his testimony to prove he shook your hand, he may also offer testimony that when he sat down with you before the bombing started, and he said, "Slobo, this is your last chance. Stop driving the Kosovar Albanians into the hills." And Lord knows what Slobo said back to him.
Now, you said that this court has ruled rather broadly in a prior appeals case that it cannot summon these individuals who are acting on behalf of their governments, I gather. Could it summon their documents, their notes of what they did?
The bottom line is that the court itself has no enforcement power. It has to go to the Security Council. So it really has to work on the cooperation of states that are interested in its the health of its proceedings. States do have a legal duty to cooperate with the tribunal. It's set up, after all, under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, and there's a provision of the UN Charter that says that states must abide by decisions of the Security Council.
But, say, would Bill Clinton's appearance, though, be a matter of the state participating because he was the president, or is it a private citizen because he no longer is the president?
Well, he's a former, but he was acting at the time that would be relevant in an official capacity. So, again, the court has construed its power to require that rather narrowly. On the other hand, where it's exculpatory evidence, I think everybody wants the appearance and substance of a fair trial. So if Milosevic has something specific he can persuade the judge that Clinton could testify to that's halfway relevant, which is the issue, then the court might try to obtain that testimony for him if by deposition, if by no other means.
Well, Professor Wedgwood, thank you very much for talking with
My
us
pleasure.
Today. Ruth Wedgwood, professor of international law at Yale and Johns Hopkins and a former federal prosecutor, spoke to us from New York City.